In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. I'm looking at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21, verse 15. Excuse me. After these days, we made preparations for our journey, then went up to Jerusalem. The only way to get to Jerusalem is to go up. No other way, up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea came along to lead us to the house of Manson, a Cypriot, a disciple of long standing, he's a Christian, with whom we were to stay. They're staying in a Christian's house. When we reached Jerusalem, the brothers welcomed us warmly. The next day, Paul accompanied us on a visit to James, and all the priests or presbyters were present. He granted them, then proceeded to tell them in detail what God had accomplished among the Gentiles through his ministry. This is very interesting. How are our meetings that we have, any place meetings, Catholic, Christian, do we stop and say, this is what God did through me? I don't think so, but yet God is the God who A-C-T-S acts. He opened the Red Sea, and he opened the hearts of the Gentiles to Paul's preaching. They praised God when they heard it, but said to him, "Brother, you see how many thousands of believers there are from among the Jews, and there are zealous observers of the law. They have informed us that you are teaching all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to abandon Moses, and that you are telling them not to circumcise their children or to observe their customary practices." Paul wasn't doing that, but that was the scuttlebutt, the rumor. "What is to be done? They will surely hear that you have arrived. So do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take these men and purify yourselves with them and pay their expenses, that they may have their heads shaved. In this way, everyone will know that there is nothing to report that have been given about you, but that you yourself live in observance to the law. As for the Gentiles who have come to believe, we set them our decision that they abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meat of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage." So Paul took the men on the next day. After purifying himself together with them, he entered the temple and gave notice of the day when the purification would be completed and the offering made for each of them. When the 7 days were nearly completed, the Jews from the province of Asia noticed him in the temple, stirred up a whole crowd, and laid hands on him. And they were shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who was teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and the place. And what more, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled the sacred place." He didn't do any of those things. We need to know that we need to walk with and bless the ministries of people that are Catholic and not Catholic. We need to bless their ministries because the darkness of the world is seeping in to the church. The darkness of the world. Yes, 55% of the people in Massachusetts are Catholic, and 55% of the people who have abortions are Catholic. "For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with him, and supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was in turmoil when people rushing together They seized Paul, dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the gates were closed. While they were trying to kill Paul, a report reached the cohort commander that all Jerusalem was rioting. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and charged down on them, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Remember, you can't beat Paul. Well, you know why? He's a Roman citizen. He has no right to be beaten, and he's going to bring this all the way to Rome, that he was beaten, and he was born a Roman citizen. Oh yes, you do not do that to a Roman citizen. But they beat Paul. The cohort commander came forward and arrested him and ordered him to be secured with two chains. He tried to find out who might be and what he had done. Some of the mob shouted one thing, others shouted another thing. So since we were unable to ascertain the truth because of the uproar, he ordered Paul to be brought into the compound. When he reached the steps, he was carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the crowd of people followed and shouted, "Away with him!" And just like Jesus, they couldn't get the two people to say the same thing that Jesus had done. Just as Paul was about to be taken into the compound, he said to the cohort commander, "May I say something to you?" He replied, "Do you speak Greek? So then you are not the Egyptian who started a revolt some time ago and led 4,000 assassins into the desert." Paul answered, "I am a Jew of Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. I request you to permit me to speak to the people." When he had given permission, Paul stood on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people, and when it was quiet, he addressed them in the Hebrew language. Now they're going to be quiet because he speaks Hebrew. "My brothers and fathers, listen to me," chapter 22. "Listen to what I'm about to say to you in my defense." When they heard him addressing them in Hebrew, they became all the more quiet. And he continued, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel." You know, I often wonder if Paul ever went back to Gamaliel, his teacher, and talked to him about Jesus. I often wonder. I wouldn't doubt it. And remember what Gamaliel said, "If this is of God, no one can stop it. Leave them alone. If it's not of God, it will destroy itself." Gamaliel said that in the 5th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. "I was educated strictly in our ancestral law and was zealous for God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted the way to death, binding both men and women and delivering them to prison. Even the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify on my behalf. For from them I even received letters to the brothers to set out for Damascus to bring back to Jerusalem in chains for punishment those who are of the way." So Paul talks about himself being a person who hated Christians. And I told you why. Because Jesus was put on a tree, and the scripture says, "Cursed is the man who dies upon a tree." How could he be the Messiah if he's a curse? St. Paul later says, "He became a curse so that we might become the righteousness of God." On that journey, as I drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from the sky suddenly shone around me, the Shekinah glory, the glory of God. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I replied, "Who are you, sir?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting." My companions saw the light, but they did not hear the voice of the one who spoke to me. I asked, "What shall I do, sir?" The Lord answered, "Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told about everything appointed for you to do." Since I could see nothing because of the brightness of the light, I was led by hand by my companions and enter Damascus. How we need the brightness of that light to fill us. The Shekinah glory, the glory of God, the Kabod Yahweh. Oh yes, how we need the experience of that. Oh yes, someone was called me up and said, you know, I had a conversion experience and it was like a cloud that filled the room. And that's the glory of God. That's the Kabod Yahweh. I saw it in the wildflowers. Oh yes, they were filled with glory. That's the Kabod Yahweh, yes. How we need that the Shekinah glory, the Kabod Yahweh, would fill us to overflowing. A certain Ananias, a devout observer of the law, and highly spoken of by the Jews who lived there, came to me and stood there and said, Saul, my brother, regain your sight. And at that moment I regained my sight and saw him. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has designated you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear the sound of his voice, for you will be his witness before all to what you have seen and heard. Now, why delay? Get up and have yourself baptized and your sins washed away, calling upon the name of Jesus. After I had returned to Jerusalem and while I was praying in the temple, I fell in a trance and saw the Lord saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem at once, because they will not accept your testimony about me. But I replied, Lord, they themselves know that from the synagogue to synagogue I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I myself stood by you, by giving my approval and keeping guard over the cloaks of his murderers. Then he said to me, go, I shall send you far away to the Gentiles. Oh yes, it will be Paul's ministry to the world, to the Gentiles. Peter's ministry to the Jews. But as I often said, when Paul goes to a place, he always starts off in the synagogue, because salvation is to the Jew first and then to the pagan. Let's continue. Verse 22. Chapter 22. They listened to him until he said this, but they raised their voices and shouted, take such a one as this away from the earth. It is not right that he should live. And as they were yelling and throwing off the cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the cohort commander ordered him to be brought into the compound and gave instruction that he be interrogated under the lash to determine the reason why they were making such an outcry against him. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion of the duty, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman citizen? You see, Paul uses his Roman citizenship to go to Rome. He wants to what? Witness to Caesar ultimately. A Roman citizen who has not been tried. When the centurion heard this, he went to the cohort commander and reported it, saying, what are you going to do? This man is a Roman citizen. Then tell me, are you a Roman citizen? Yes, he answered the centurion. The commander replied, I acquired this citizenship for a large sum of money. Paul said, but I was born a Roman citizen. At once those who were going to interrogate him backed away from Paul, and the commander became alarmed when he realized that he was a Roman citizen and that he had had him bound. Paul uses everything. He not only speaks about Jesus, he uses his experience of being a Roman citizen, that they had no right to flog him because he was a Roman citizen. Ultimately, he wants to bring himself to Rome, where he's going to witness to Caesar. Paul before the Sanhedrin. The next day, wishing to determine the truth about why he was being accused by the Jews, he freed him and ordered the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin to convene. Then he brought Paul down and made him stand before them. Chapter 23. Paul looked intently at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have conducted myself with a perfectly clear conscience before God to this day. The high priest Annas ordered his attendants to strike his mouth." Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you indeed sit in judgment upon me according to the law, and yet in violation to the law order me to be struck?" The attendant said, "Would you revile God's high priest?" Paul answered, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not curse a ruler of your people.'" I tell you, that's why when the bishop speaks, we need to listen to him. He is the high priest of the diocese, of the archdiocese. And I tell you, once when I was in the presence of Cardinal Law said, "We will allow you to do your radio ministry," and I knew he was speaking as a high priest, that he would allow me to do the radio, and after that he was sent to Rome. But yet God spoke to him, "We would allow you to do your radio ministry." Let's continue. Paul was aware that some were Sadducees and others were Pharisees. So what do you think he's going to do? Talk about the resurrection. So he called out before the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees. I am on trial for the hope of the resurrection of the dead." Yeah, Pharisees believed in the resurrection. Sadducees didn't. So what's going to happen? They're going to go at each other's throats. Paul's going to step aside. When he said this, a dispute broke out between Pharisees and Sadducees, and the group became divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, no angels, no spirits, while the Pharisees acknowledge all three. A great uproar occurred, and some scribes belonging to the Pharisee party stood up and sharply argued, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel has spoken to him." The dispute was so serious that the commander was afraid that Paul would be torn into pieces by them. He ordered his troops to go down and rescue him from the midst and take him into the compound. The following night, the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Take courage, for just as you have borne witness to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." So the Lord is sending him to Rome ultimately. Why? To witness to Caesar. To witness to Caesar's house. Oh yes. God wanted the Apostle Paul to proclaim the word of God in Rome. We know that was Peter's place. But God wanted Paul to proclaim the word of God and his wonderful conversion in Rome. In Rome. When day came, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. You can see they're crazy. They're crazy. We're not going to eat until we kill that imposter. He's no imposter. He's God's man. There were more than 40 who formed this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves by a solemn oath to taste nothing until we have killed Paul." Well, I'm going to tell you, they starved to death then, because they're not going to kill Paul. "You, together with the Sanhedrin, must now make an official request to the commander to have him bring him down to you, though you meant to investigate his case more thoroughly. We, on our part, are prepared to kill him before he arrives." The son of Paul's sister, however, heard about the ambush. That's Paul's nephew. So he went and entered the compound and reported it to Paul. Paul then called one of the centurions and requested, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something to report to him." So he took him and brought him to the commander and explained, "The prisoner Paul, called me and asked that I bring this man to you. He has something to say to you. The commander took him by the hand, drew him aside, and asked him privately, What is it you have got to report to me? He replied, The Jews have conspired to ask you to bring Paul down to the Sanhedrin tomorrow, as though they meant to inquire about him more thoroughly. But do you believe them? More than 40 of them are lying in wait for him. They have bound themselves by an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed Paul. They are now ready, and the only wait for your consent. As the commander dismissed the young man, he directed him, Tell no one that you gave me this information. You see, God wants him in Rome, and he's going to make sure that he doesn't get killed before he goes to Rome to witness to Caesar. Yes, this is God with a perfect plan. You know, I had received a call yesterday from Canada. And the woman said, I want you to pray for my daughter that she get pregnant. I'm going to pray with you. I pray that this woman receive from the Lord a healthy, holy pregnancy and a beautiful birth. I pray this in the name of Jesus because they want a child. So, Lord, let there be a child. You see, I get called from all over. I've got a call to call someone in Washington, D.C. today, a priest. And I get calls to do these things. And what do you think they want me to do? They want me to pray. That's what they want me to do. They don't want me to do anything else but to pray. Then he summoned two of the centurions and said, Get 200 soldiers ready to go to Caesarea by 9 o'clock at night, along with 70 horsemen and 200 auxiliaries. Provide mounts for Paul to ride and give him safe conduct to Felix the governor. Then he wrote a letter with the content, Claudius Lysias to His Excellency, the Governor Felix, greetings. This man seized by Jews and about to be murdered by them, I rescued him after intervening with my troops when I learned that he was a Roman citizen. I wanted to learn the reason for their accusations against him, so I brought him down to the Sanhedrin. I discovered that he was accused in matters of controversial questions of their law and not any charge deserving death or imprisonment. Since it was brought to my attention that there will be a plot against the man, I am sending him to you at once and have also notified the accusers to state their case against him before you. So the soldiers, according to their orders, took Paul and escorted him by night to Antipatris. The next day they returned into the compound, leaving the horsemen to complete their journey with him. When they arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and presented Paul to him. When he had read this and asked to what province he belonged and learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, I shall hear your case when your accusers arrive. Then he ordered that he be held in custody in Herod's praetorium. This is all about getting the word out. This is all about getting the word out. I want to tell you, we need to get the word out about Jesus, because people do not know who Jesus is. So many people have no idea who Jesus is. We need to get the word out so that people would believe. We need to use our witness because it's the only witness that we have. You say, but my witness isn't big. If God transformed you, it's big. It's very big. Well, how do I know that? Because when God does something, He always does big things. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I would like to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit between July 9th and 15th at Holy Rosary Church, 1015 Shirley Street. We will be creating, by God's grace, an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. That means that we'll be worshiping and praising God so that God can move in power. I also need to hear from people. We need to pay our May bills. www.inseason.net. Go to PayPal. Or Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.